Good evening.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Okay, we're getting ready to go on the trip.
Let's go.
I'm talking a little bit out of a section called The Basis of the Dream. Did you know that your life is chaotic because it's governed by your conflicting wishes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I left
that one
there.
No.
Girl,
where?
On page 375. Okay. What I love is I have the honor and the privilege of giving people a lot of times the first opportunity to hear something out of the course book. And I love that. Because there's some stuff in the course book. I just can't be clever as the course book. So I just love it when people come and they wouldn't let me work with the course book so we can really hear this outrageous stuff. It says, now, when you're having a dream at night, doesn't it really seem real?
Yeah. I had one last night.
Yeah, I want you to think about what this world is, the one that you see in your dream. First of all, the world that you're looking at in your dream is not the world that you were looking at before you went to sleep, right?
Right.
Right? When you're dreaming, you're not looking at the world you was looking at before you went to sleep, right? So when you're having a dream at night, what you're really experiencing and seeing is a distortion of the world. So, but you know that if you're in a dream and you're in Switzerland, but you know you're in Denver, obviously you're having a distortion when you think you're in Switzerland. So a dream is a distortion because it's not where you're at. For real. You don't look like you are. So, do you know what the Course in Miracles says a distorted world is? The Course says a distorted world is any world that's playing around what you prefer.
Any what?
The Course says any distortion is anything that's playing solely around what you prefer. If you want to know what distortion is, it's everything you prefer. I'm just trying to what this book is saying. I'm not going, I don't know whether I'm being blessed by spirit or somebody that he's dogging me out. You know what I'm saying? When I read this book, sometimes I don't know if I'm being dogged out on the slide. You know. He says, you want to know what a distorted world is? It's a world that's playing around anything you prefer. He says, in a dream, you are free to make over whatever seems to attack you. In other words, in a dream, I can change everything to attribute to my ego. See, what I'm trying to do all day long is change everything into something that's paying tribute to me. That's all I'm doing every day. I'm just trying to figure out how much tribute can I get during the day. That's my world. My world is, why don't y'all recognize me? Why don't y'all notice me? Why don't y'all give me some attention? Why don't y'all see me as important? Why don't y'all see my butt is looking good? It's important.
Turn around.
All right. Now, those without a sense of humor will not be back to my class. That's how you get rid of them. You know, it's like, I want to get rid of the humorless people. You know people are going to be gone who don't have no sense of humor. And then I'd be left with a room full of people with humor. Yeah. And then we can really start having fun and playing and learning. I'm weeding everybody out over the next few weeks. Yep, it's time for another level. Okay, now, he says, not only am I trying to make over everything that seems to hurt me, I'm trying to change everything to attribute to me, because I'm outraged. I'm outraged by you all's attack. So y'all need to pay tribute to me because of all the stuff y'all have done to me. Now, this wouldn't be your wish unless you saw yourself as one with the part of you that's afraid. The part of you, the ego, is the part of you that always looks at you as if you're under attack. The ego is the part of your mind that always looks at everything as if you could be hurt. The ego is the part of you that's always showing you how you can be hurt. The ego is the part of you that's showing you how you are vulnerable, how you can be hurt. Not only have I been hurt by you, I'm vulnerable to you, and y'all need to treat me better and pay some tribute to me and help me have everything be the way I want it.
Yeah.
Hello? People, you're supposed to be helping me make my life the way I want it. That's your function. What's wrong with y'all?
You give me the script update.
Hey! You're just supposed to know the script without me telling you. If you're my friend. And that's what we do, people. It's like, you know, it's like we said we don't believe in telepathy, but we expect everybody to read our minds and just know what we're thinking. Then get mad at them because they don't.
Yeah.
It's so crazy that they put us on the planet by ourselves. They all don't even realize it yet. We've been jettisoned. We are so far separate from everybody that's got sense in the whole universe that it looks like there's no life in outer space. That's how far away we are. Why are we so separate, y'all? The whole big old universe. Why are we so separate? It's because this is the planet where the people who've forgotten how to love live.
Wow.
I'm telling you, flying saucers are not abducting people. They're dropping them off. See, one day y'all gonna look up on the Tonight Show and gonna be talking stuff like this, and people just gonna be laughing. Y'all say, "Oh, I remember Earl when he was a." Because I've been honing my comedy act of truth for 25 years, preparing myself to enter into the world with my message. And the only way I can get my message across in the world was with a hell of a lot of humor. You got to keep the people laughing. You know, and for a long time, that's how black folk made it. And so I continued in that tradition. And I've been having a great time. I was, because laughter and happiness is love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe somebody loves you if they're looking at you like this. So the ego the part of you that always looks like somebody's out to get you and you're vulnerable to attack? Will everybody agree they got that part of their mind?
Yeah.
Okay, then the next thing the course says is that dreams are chaotic because they're governed by your conflicting wishes. In other words, the reason why you have conflict is because you're not concerned with anything that's true. The reason why you're in conflict is because you don't want nothing that's real. The reason why you're in conflict is because you don't want nothing that's permanent. You want everything to be temporary. And if you're not happy, that's a good idea. If you're not happy, you need to want it to be temporary. Good thinking. My favorite things about this book is that I often have called it the joke book from God. If you read the course right, it's like a joke book, but it's telling you the deepest truth you could ever imagine. But it's written like a joke book. It's like, do you know what a distortion is? Well, it's anything that you prefer. Why is your life chaotic? Because it's governed by your conflicting wishes. Why am I so miserable? Because you're not concerned with nothing that's true or valuable. You know, it's like my ego gets insulted. He says, your dreams are the best example you could have of how your perception can be utilized to substitute illusions for the truth. Dreams show you how you can see something just because you want to see it, even though it's not true. Dreams are your proof that you're capable of seeing things that don't even exist and they seem real. That's what he said. That's what this book is telling us. He says, wake up, y'all. Wake up. When you have a dream at night, it's nothing like the world you was in before you went to sleep, but yet you see this whole world that seems to be playing around what you prefer, and it seems real while you're in it. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. The reason why your life is full of conflict right now is because anything that's really true or really valuable or really loving or really permanent, the book says, we're not concerned with. We're not interested in anything real. I asked for answers, but I didn't expect them to be like this.
Cause you know what I'm saying? It's kind of cop. And the truth is, I'm not concerned with anything real. I'm not even interested unless it's not real. Real people scary. Real people are scary. Because you can't figure out what they want, but you know they want something, but they don't act like it. They treat you cool and they say loving things to you all the time, no matter what you do. Either they're a real bad judge of character or they're trying to get something from me. Okay. You know, since, you know, it's like the more integrity I have inside myself, the more scary I become to people of the world. Because they can't figure me out. You know, you got to, what's your game? You got to have a game. You got to have a agenda. You're too nice. You're too loving. You're not trying to, you got to have a game. I can't trust you. I am well educated at how to have doubt and suspicion eternally. Eternally. That's the only thing that's ever happened to me consistently in my life is that I've been afraid. Yeah. Everything else has been like temporary. But ever since I landed on this planet and realized I was here and then realized that everybody else thought it was normal, I went into deep fear. When I looked around me and realized that everybody really thought this was the only world and that the way this was operating was the normal way to be, and you know, it's like, and it's like, you know, there's nobody around me. Everybody looked like they was really into it, you know. And so I thought something was wrong with me for a long time because I couldn't accept nothing I was experiencing as a child as making any sense of being real, and I was wondering why everybody was acting like it was. And I thought the cruelest thing that I could ever experience was watching something that I love die. He's like, what is this? I was like, you know, I would like be, sometimes I'd be like really all caught up and almost just sad and depressed because I was like 7, 8 years old thinking about, God, you know, my mama gonna die one day. And I don't want my mama to die. And my brothers and sisters gonna die one day. And I don't want my brothers. I remember being a kid, like, death. I mean, I had a real problem with death. Because it was hard for me to believe that anything that loved me would be cruel enough to put me in a world where I could be hurt in, even accidentally. Nothing that loved me would even let me accidentally be hurt, is what the course taught me. I said, brother, you don't know what love is. That's your problem. You hopelessly mix love up with fear. And so you got love and fear mixed together right now. So you don't really know what love is no more. So this lesson that I'm covering today is so deep that when you leave out of here, you're going to be freed at a brand new level. So watch it. Don't go out here and mess up nothing now because y'all have these new powers. Just take up a new kind of pizza and get rich. See, you got to make things so easy for your physical self that your physical self is no longer a distraction or a problem. You got to let your human self be so satisfied that it no longer interferes with your spiritual path. So you got to start making your human self, let your human self be happy. You got to start letting your human self enjoy human things. And stop holding against your human self that it loves human things, like houses and cars and trips and boats and specialness. And, you know, so you're working all the time to make sure your human thing, your human self doesn't want human things. It's like, no, let your human self have human things so peacefully that it's no longer a distraction to you on your spiritual path. So you can go ahead and do what you need to do because you're not worried about paying your bills. And you're sleeping in a bed with somebody you don't mind being next to instead of somebody you're sleeping with one eye open. Reading your course book with the other eye. I remember sleeping in a bed with somebody that I felt so separate from, I would flinch when my body touched them. Who hasn't had that experience? Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody, if you touched them, you would like, you'd get flinched because you felt so separate?
Is that the same as not knowing who they were?
Wait, at the end. That's okay, Judy. You never said it. Some of the best of us wake up not knowing who's next to us. Some people have been with somebody for 20 years and waking up to the next woman don't know who they are in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Some people live with strangers that they've been knowing since they were children. Like a lot of us, our families. Our family don't really know us worth for nothing. You know what I'm saying? We just let them see whatever would keep them from bugging us. But you need, okay, if possible, I'll be whatever I need just for you won't bug me and I can just be myself and move on. You know, so you know, people will deceive sometimes for peace. You know, it's like, okay, I could really tell you that I don't really believe in sin and I think I'm unlimited, or I could just let you share the Bible with me and I say, okay, amen. And go on about my business and you'd be happy with me and you'd probably offer me a piece of pie, you know. Yeah. Or I could go, I don't think that's always true. And then all of a sudden, it'll look like me and them going to have a good evening. Because I don't like being in a conversation with people who feel like the only point of the conversation is to disagree with me. And sometimes you can talk to people and it seems like that's their point. All they're going to do is take anything you say and show you another way you could have said it, or another way you could have looked at it. You're just looking for every little error in your thought. It's like, why do these two people want to talk to them? Then they like be wondering why they're by themselves and they got so much to say. Wonder why people disappeared out of my life until I realized I saw myself as my job is to correct them and show them the way. It made me feel important. It made me feel valuable. It made me feel like I was really must be on a spiritual path. Look how many people calling me today. A day need my insight. I must really be a good person. That's because I thought I was so bad. I was trying to be so good because I thought I was so bad. I got into the truth when I was 23. Did any of you all have the same experience I had of coming here and thinking this was totally insane and wondering why everybody else thought it wasn't? Would you show me with your Bible? We'll show a hand. Okay, I'm just cool. I just wondered if I was the only one who and still feel that way. Still feel that way, by the way. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Still, no, I do not think it's normal to fly a plane into a building. No. I do not think it's normal for people not to communicate and love each other because of the difference in their color of their skin or their religion or their spiritual belief. I don't think that's normal for people to be starving when there's enough food in the world to feed everybody. I don't think it's normal for people to walk past each other and not speak or acknowledge each other. I don't think it's normal for people to love only one person. Because if love could exclude anybody, you're creating the possibility that you could be excluded. Don't you get that? If you come up with exceptions, then you're creating possible exceptions for yourself. You're excluding yourself. You're creating the possibility that you'll be excluded from the love. And this is what this book talked to me, and I was like, whoa! You mean that it's not real unless I share it? No, it's not real unless you share it. That's how you know it's real. If you can't share it, it's not real. Now, let's go to the next paragraph. Say, you don't take your dreams seriously when you wake up because the fact that reality has been so violated it becomes apparent. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, you don't take that dream that you was half elephant last night serious. You don't like get up in the morning and go to your job going, I'm a half elephant, I'm a half elephant. No, whatever you dreamed you were last night, when you woke up in the morning, you didn't take that seriously, did you? But when you wake up from this dream, you're not going to take this serious either. So why don't you start enjoying yourself? You're not going to take this dream right here no more serious than you took the one that you had last night. So you need to start enjoying yourself, and I do too. Because when you wake up, you're going to forget you even came here. Just like you forgot the dream you had last night. You're going to forget this one. You mean I'm going to forget my granddaughter? That's what he's going to say. You mean I'm going to forget my mom or my dad? You know. You are your mom and your daddy. You are your mama and your daddy. And your sister and your brother. And me. Yeah, you got a little black in you. I guess the humanists are still going to be gone. They'll be out of here. So when you wake up in the morning and you remember what happened last night, you know that's not the way it is right now. You realize you were just looking at a way of looking at the world last night. So a dream is nothing but a way of looking at the world. So what you're doing every night when you go to sleep is you're trying to change the world to suit you better. And when you wake up in the morning, you're trying to change the world to suit you better. And what you're trying to do all the time is to change the world to suit you better. You just want everything to suit you. You just want everything. That's what this book is saying to me. And I'm like, what? How dare you say that to me? That I just want everything to suit me. He says, the reason why, he says, what you are experiencing every day is nothing but your inability to tolerate reality. See, all you're experiencing is your inability to tolerate what's real. That's what he says. He's like, you know what you're going through right now? Your inability to tolerate love. You're experiencing your inability to tolerate love. You're experiencing your inability to tolerate your freedom. Right now, if you are not happy in any area you're not happy in, you are experiencing your inability to tolerate your answer. Wherever you have a problem, that's where you are experiencing your inability to tolerate your answer. You don't have any toleration for the answer where you have the problem. In other words, I am totally willing to change everything on my behalf. I'll change everything so that it suits me. I'm Earth. Talk to me, y'all. Talk to me. This is deep. Give me some feedback, somebody.
What about when you have a nightmare, a bad dream, and you wake up and you go, oh my God, thank God that was a dream. Why would you rearrange your reality to scare yourself?
Because you crazy. Okay, now that question.
Another question.
You'd be surprised how just admitting that would make us feel innocent. Because
right.
Even in this world, we'll give a crazy person a break.
Thank you.
If somebody mentally, you know, like somebody do something really good, somebody comes in and they pinch on your butt, they say, he crazy. Oh, okay. All right, I'll let you go this time. You know what I'm saying? The minute you get that somebody's crazy, then you mean, what we call it mentally, y'all want to be politically incorrect. But y'all know what I'm talking about. If you're off a little bit, okay. Then, if you see a person that's handicapped in any way and you have compassion, you go, oh, okay, because they know no better. That's what the course was telling me. He said, look, you're in a world, I'm telling you where you're at, Earl. Where you at? You are now on tour in the part of your mind that's totally insane. This is your farewell tour. Like the Rolling Stones or something. You know what I'm saying? And so now you're going to look at all the thoughts you made that made your life hell. And you're going to get a chance to walk among all these thoughts that are ugly, but you haven't been willing to look at. But you just look at them now. Don't try to take them home. But see, that's not the way we do it. Oh, man. You mean you might get a thought, oh, I feel so bad about that. Oh, you might anger thought, oh, I shouldn't have got mad. So look what kind of trip we give it ourselves. Every time we walk up on one of our thoughts, we go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, what's wrong with me? Oh, I ought to be better. You're not going to enjoy your farewell tour this way, gang. I'm your tour guide. I'm telling you, you're blowing it. They ain't gonna give y'all your money back either. You got to follow instructions. Walk among your insane thoughts and leave them alone. I gotta have a little affirmation right quick.
Yeah.
I gotta hear that. I want to hear that back. I'm gonna say that over and over again until we hear it. Because we hear some cool stuff today. Tell me how I feel the foundation of y'all's world a little shaken right now. Mm-hmm. You feel just a little disoriented, like, should I run? No, that's not what I wanted.
every time I memorize it, and then I forget. So I think I start writing down.
That's what I do.
You know what I'm saying?
Bad guy cigarette.
I can't envision you with a cigarette.
I know, I tried one time and just didn't do it for me. Because when I grew up, it was like, when you turned 16, you could smoke. Because everybody on TV smoked. Everybody smoked, you know. And I didn't smoke? I didn't like the way it tasted. It was just a really simple, basic. It wasn't like I was looking out for my health forever. It just didn't like the way it tasted. But sometimes when I don't like something, I find myself able to adjust myself to the point that something I don't like seems tolerable.
Yeah.
And then I define that as happiness.
Exactly.
Deep. Oh, make you sick. Okay, now I'm going to get deep now because I sit down. Y'all ready?
Can I say a question?
Yes, you can.
What if a dream needs looked at because it is a memory from a life past? It is nudging us along to move our way forward.
Then you are using the dream correctly.
You know, that's what I'm saying, that you can't say a dream is only insane. You have to separate the insane.
Well, it's actually insane because it's insane because it's not real. Even a great dream is still a dream.
But if it is real, the memory.
What I'm gonna suggest is that you go with the way you see it.
No, I'm just saying another point of view.
I'm just saying go with that. I'm not arguing with you about which way.
Life is eternal. There is no death. There is no
But believe,
death.
Believe me, there are some people who also needed to hear it exactly how I said it.
Oh no, I see.
So that's what I'm. And so that's my point.
That you do not let it haunt you, because it is not.
I'm just saying that everything that happened is perfect. I'm just saying everything that's happening is perfect.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, what I'm saying is that however I'm saying it is perfect, you know.
Quicker if we eliminate the negative.
Absolutely, you're right.
You're right.
See, what's happening too is that the ego is feeling threatened by what it's hearing. And so now we're trying to focus on what appear to be, but not truly, differences. Because that takes us away from the oneness that we were sharing. Even though we're both doing it for a very wonderful reason. You see what I'm saying? It's like as long as I can focus on what appears to be different, then I can keep my conflict going. So as you were talking, in my mind, my only goal was to join with you as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But it didn't look like that was happening.
No, you did.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So the only thing that matters is your purpose.
I think that's so. How you can release the nightmare is this. You are not me. You are what I have to learn from, go forward.
And that's what I said at the very beginning. If you're going to look at the dream then it's okay, it's beautiful to look at the dream that way. What the course is trying to get us to see right now is that what we are dealing with is not reality. That however you look at a dream, it's still not reality. No matter what the purpose is you're using the dream for, the dream is still not reality. And so he says, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know it's from a past life?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about this no more. Okay? I don't want to talk about this no more. Okay. Let's go forward. Anybody else want to keep talking about this?
No.
Okay, okay, good. I'll just make sure. Okay. But they totally cool to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
And I am too. You know. Yes. But it's just, at a certain point, I just feel like comments become distractions. And that's becoming a distraction. You do not find the differences between what you see in sleep and on awaking disturbing. Like when you wake up and you're no longer a half an elephant, you find it perfectly okay. Because you realize that what you see when you wake up is blotted out in dreams. When you're having a dream, the stuff that you usually normally look at, is it not blotted out? That's a point spirit trying to get to here. He says, but when you wake up, you don't expect the world that you were in before you went to sleep to be gone. When you wake up in the morning, don't you still expect to be in the bed you went to sleep in? Sometimes it doesn't happen, but don't you want it to be that way? Alright. In dreams, you arrange everything.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means if you're having a dream, people become what you want them to be. If you're having a dream, people to be doing what you order them to do. And when you're having a dream, you can substitute one thing for another. And when you're having a dream, it looks like you have a world that for a little while has been given you to make it any way you want it to be. He says, you don't realize that when you wake up in the morning trying to make the world be what you want it to be, you are really attacking the world. You're really trying to triumph over the world. You're really trying to make the world serve you. What we're really doing is trying to make everybody serve us.
Yeah.
And he says, so really a dream is a perceptual temper tantrum. So when you're in an illusion, when you're in a fear, when you're in a false idea, you're basically saying, I want it this way, and that's the way it seems to be. Yet your dream cannot escape where it came from. The reason why there is anger and fear in our physical life is because we have an instant of the illusion of satisfaction, and then we get that invaded by the illusion of terror. First we have the illusion of satisfaction, and then we have the illusion of being afraid of something. Then we have the illusion of satisfaction, then we have the illusion of being afraid of something. And the Course says that's why there's anger and fear in our physical world. It's because everybody in it, they're mad. An instant of satisfaction is followed by an instant of dissatisfaction, which is followed... Now, but remember, y'all, whatever I say in my class, it's only meant for the people that it applies to. So if you say that don't apply to me, then it wasn't for you. Isn't that cool? That's what's so cool about not agreeing or looking at it another way, however you want to do it. Then that point was not for you. But somebody in this room needed it to be said exactly the way I said it. And that's who it was for. And that's what's true in every conversation you have with anybody. That's why you owe it to the people in your life to say it and express it in the moment the way you really want to from your heart. Love the people around you that much. That you will be yourself. So that whatever it is you have to offer, the person who needs to receive you just the way you are, they'll receive it from you just the way you are. And you haven't felt good until you've been around people who are receiving you just the way you are, and just the way you are, just the way they want it to be. That is so cool. It's mind-boggling. So the court says the dream of your ability to control reality. He said we're having the dream that we have the ability to control reality. You're having the dream that you have the ability to control reality. And how do we try to control reality? By substituting a world that we would prefer, which is terrifying us. He said, you know what's terrifying? I tell you what's terrifying. Having the world you prefer. He says, your attempts to blot out reality and the truth are fearful, but you're not willing to accept that what's frightening you is your own attempts to blot out love. You're not willing to admit that it's your own attempts to blot out your good that's frightening you. It's your own attempt to blot out your own good that's terrifying you. Because you have now substituted the fantasy that reality is fearful and not what you would do to reality, and that's how you made guilt real. So people think the fantasy is the cool thing and reality is what sucks. That's what the book said. We got it direct. He says now we're so distorted that we think reality is harsh, but the dream is what's cool. So we walk around all the time fantasizing. And fantasizing is nothing but making up false needs that you don't really have and then spending all your time trying to fulfill them. You don't really need a fantasy. If the fantasy wasn't there, you'd still be alive. That's how you know you don't need it. So we make up needs, the court said, we make up needs, and then we beat ourselves up by how good we are able to achieve the false need that we don't really have in the first place. When reality could be totally satisfying to us, but we are not willing to be in it. Because we think reality is frightening. So we like to fantasize all the time because we think the real, what's real is frightening. So it says that's why we feel guilty. He says, so what your dreams are really doing is that they're showing you that you have the power to make the world the way you want it to be. Every night you see that you have the power to make a world what you want it to be. Every night when you go to sleep, you are revealed as having a power to make a whole world the way you want it to be. And you call it dreaming. But it's really you being shown you have the power to make a whole world the way you want it to be. That's what dreams, I know, I just thought I was dreaming about going to Tahiti. I know all that was going on. You know what I'm saying? Every night, you're being shown you have the ability to make a world look real and the way you want it to be, and you also have the ability to create that world, put yourself in it as a victim, and dream that you're being chased by somebody in the dream you made up. And every night we're being shown we have that power. Then we wake up in this one and think we're somewhere else. Yeah. You just had another dream. Now you're having the dream that you're awake. Oh, man, that's so disgusting. Make something go through. He says, now check this out. He says, now why do you see it? He says, because you want it. I know it's got to be more complicated than that. No. Why am I seeing this person in my life? Because you want this person in your life. Why am I seeing this bank account I got in my life? Because you want to see that bank account you got in your life. That's too easy. He says, and while you see it, you don't doubt that it's real. Yet here is a world, and this is the cool part. Here is a world clearly within your mind. But it seems like it's outside. It looks like I'm outside you, don't it? Mm-hmm. It sure looks like you're outside of me. It don't look like you're in my mind. It looks like you're outside of me. It doesn't look like you're in my mind. It looks like you're outside of me. He says, and he said, you don't respond to it as though you made it. No, he's right. I don't respond to this as though I made it. I wouldn't be blaming other people if I was doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't respond to this world as if I made it. I don't respond to this as if... Do you respond to this as if you made it?
No.
Okay. He says, also, this is another good one. He says, you don't realize that the emotions the dream produces must come from you. So all of the feelings that you are having are coming from you. But you don't realize it. That's true. He says right there, you don't realize it. I don't realize it. Do you realize it? No, it seems like it's telling the truth so far. It says now, he said, it is the figures in the dream, that's you, You're the figures in the dream. I was in the South, they called me nigger. I was a figure. Oh, okay. It's just a little slight change of word. You need a little figure? Okay. You my figure. Come here, boy. You my figure. Now, that'll be you my figure. Yeah, you my figure. So what are you? I'm a figure in the dream. He says it's the figure in the dream right here. It says it's the figures in the dream and what the figures in the dream do that seem to make the dream. It looks like you are the one and I'm the one that's making this whole thing happen. It's the figures in the dream that's making the dream. He says you do not realize that. This is the big one. What does not realize mean? Who can tell me right quick? What does not realize mean?
Understand.
Right now you don't understand this. Right now you don't might not agree with this. Right now you might not get this. He says, but you are making everyone act out for you. Because if I realize I was making you treat me the way you treat me, if I realized I was making you treat me the way you treat me, then the guilt wouldn't be yours. You wouldn't be guilty no more. If I was making you treat me the way you treat me, you wouldn't be guilty of doing nothing to me because I made you treat me that way. He said, then the illusion of satisfaction would be gone because all my satisfaction came from feeling like it was you doing it to me and I was the victim. So if I knew I was doing it to myself, the guilt be gone from you and all the satisfaction would be gone from me because all my satisfaction is coming from at least I'm better than you. There's somebody I'm better than. I'm so glad I'm better than somebody. I love when coarse death hits.
No, I was just thinking how that could really hurt guilt. You know?
What? Talk to me.
Yeah, well, because I'm thinking of a situation where I feel guilty. But yet, if I change that around and see it as the person, whatever I did, they ask to do that.
Then you would feel guilty about what you did to them, which wouldn't feel good to the part of you that wanted other people to suffer for what they did to you. See, if you were to say, if you were really accept the innocence of that and say, okay, that person is accusing me of hurting them, I really didn't hurt them. They just hurt themselves, so I don't have nothing to feel guilty about. Now, that sounds good if you're the one that's being blamed for something.
Yeah.
That's a good, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're telling me I'm the one that's the bad guy and I can get, well, really the truth is you did it to yourself, I like it. But I have to be conscious that that's going to put me in a reality where when it's done to me, I'm going to have to look at it the same way.
That's
the only way this is going to be real.
Yeah.
Then I can honestly take that attitude without creating what I would call bad karma for myself.
Yeah.
Because bad karma would be for me to look at that as a way of not taking responsibility for whether or not I'm loving. You know what I mean? You could go, well, how did I treat you? If I club you over the head, you was the one that asked me to do it, so I'm really innocent.
Yeah.
Okay? So that don't seem like that's going to be too cool on the karma side for some reason. I don't know. It just don't feel right. Unless you really honestly would be all right if somebody clubbed you on the head and you said, I clubbed myself. And you wouldn't attack them. That's the only way it would be real. See, the only way something can really be, not the only way, when I said only, y'all know I don't mean only, okay? The only way that something can really be real is that you can do it.
Mm-hmm. That would be real quick healing, though.
Yeah, in other words, is love real? Well, Earl, when are you doing it? Because when you do it, then it's real. Is freedom real? Yeah, Earl, it's free when you are free. Because when you are free, then freedom is real to you. Isn't that cool? And you know what you have to do? All I have to do is not try to interfere with your happiness. I mean, what's being required of me in order to have peace in my life is really not a whole lot. It's just saying all I need to do is not interfere with you and not attack you. And that's loving you. And if there's something for me to do for you, then I'll do it for you without a feeling of sacrifice. And now I love you. That's love.
So it's like, that's a lot easier than the way I used to try to do it, was constantly trying to please people who wasn't happy enough to know even if you pleased them.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. A miserable person wouldn't even know if you was doing the thing that made them happy. That's why they're miserable. They wouldn't even recognize their happiness if it showed up. Don't be trying to make a person that's miserable happy, because they wouldn't recognize when you were succeeding. They'd be upset with you no matter what you've done. And you've had relationships like that. No matter what you did, you jumped through a hoop, no matter what you did, they still wasn't satisfied because they couldn't recognize satisfaction. They were trying to control reality. They were trying to make you suit them. They were trying to adjust you to suit them better. That's what the book is saying. Yeah. That if you're dealing with an unconscious person, all you're dealing with is a person that's trying to arrange everything so that it suits them better. And those are the kind of people in the world. Those who are trying to arrange everything as if so that it can suit them better, or somebody that's trying to arrange everything so that it's better for everyone. Those are the only kind of people in the world. There's only two people that exist in the world. Those who are looking out for themselves to the exclusion of everybody else, and those who really... That's the whole point of the class. Is that, just what we're saying, this is not reality. Nothing like that would happen in reality. Nothing that loved us would cause us harm or pain. We got to let that one go.
Don't change.
Will you side with me on the idea that you deserve only peace?
Yes.
Would you be willing to side with me on the idea that you deserve only peace?
Yes, right on top of
you. Would you be willing to accept that sometimes in this class, in order for it to really have a lot of juice to take us to the next level, that we're not going to always feel comfortable about everything that's said?
Oh, yeah.
Can we give ourselves permission for you not to always feel comfortable about what I say or what somebody... Because we're going to go to a whole new level, those who really want to hang in there with me right now. And that's not saying that anybody's not cool that don't. But there's a level of reality. Like this section that I started on today, this section is unbelievable in terms of transforming your consciousness. And what will happen if you don't watch it is things will start to be taken care of for you that you used to feel like you had to take care of by yourself. That's one of the side effects of focusing on the truth. And so I want to warn you, if you're a control freak, that it's going to look like some things are being taken out of your control. If you're a control freak and the truth is beginning to work, it's going to look like you're losing control. If you're a control freak, and right now it looks like your life is losing control, it means you're giving up. You are surrendering. You are achieving your goal. You are beginning to allow things to be done for you. But it might look like things are out of control. So if you're like freaking out right now, it's a good chance you have surrendered. Kick back.
I got
you
back.
Get you one cool friend. Get you one, and a cool friend is simply somebody you know you can pick up the phone and you can call them and they remind you that you're innocent and that you deserve to be happy. That's their function. You're not going to call them up and tell them all the stuff that's going on. You're not going to look for them to try to figure out your problem and be your counselor. No, the only purpose when you're freaking out is to tell you, you're innocent, you're not alone. 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 Sometimes I have friends that call me and sometimes they just say, just tell me I'm innocent. You're innocent, you're completely innocent. And that doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, and mistakes are not for correction. But we are innocent. And that's all I said. He said, thank you. Click. He said, that's the kind of helping out I like. I didn't have to hear all the story. They spared me. But I remember a time when I wanted the story. The story was the main thing. He's like, doggone, all I'm getting out, this is the story. You know, give me the story. I hope it's a juicy story. Come on, tell me what's going on in your life, my child. What's happening with you and him? You know, we used to love the story. Now we're going to get back to loving the story, but we don't know the people that's telling us the story are innocent.
Yeah.
See, that's going to be the difference between the old story and the way we do the story now. We still going to like the story. What? Honey? No. That didn't happen. Did it? No. You know, at the same time, you're going to say, holy son of God, this is a cruel being. This is love I'm talking to. You're going to be healing them off of the way you're seeing them. They're going to get a chance to get it off their chest and feel really innocent and not get into repression. Everybody gets healed and you get closer to waking up to love.
Yeah.
This is going to be a cool thing we're doing right now.
Yeah, it is.
So, Tuesday, got a class out south, and I got flyers to be with the location, 3501 South Corona, 12 to 1. And then Wednesday, 12 noon, and Thursday, 7 p.m. And of course, the Sunday, 1 o'clock.
thank you for coming to my class on such a beautiful day when it would have been so easy to just go out to the park or do something else besides this hour and allow the Holy Spirit to just tear one new one in us. I want to acknowledge you, those of you who it was not a strain at all, and everything I said was easy as pie, and you loved it, and you already agreed with it, and you just feel like it's hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. And thank those of you who are totally disoriented and wondering who that crazy black man is. I don't know if I'm coming back here no more. I want to also thank you, too.
I want
to
thank you.
Yeah.
Be myself.
So I love you. We're going to go out here in the dream now. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for coming to the class. You're a blessing in my life. Woo! And remember, if I ever make you mad, just forgive me.